This is Cruise Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Everything you need to know about new and used cars. Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air. Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Because you're on Cruise Control. Cruise Control.
And welcome to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. Your extremely well-fed hosts are right here. I'm Les Jackson at the wheel of the van. Fred Staub is over there finishing his turkey sandwich. We're about to go into a post-prandial stupor. But not before we cover a whole bunch of news in the automotive world.
Yeah, we've got a lot of news to cover, Les, and a lot of new models, a lot of new developments. So here we go. Nissan adds a missing component to its 2019 Rogue Sport. We'll talk about what you will get and how much more it will cost you.
Will it be a wing?
It's a giant wing that stands 6 feet.
A giant wing that sticks up like 6 feet.
And lots of stickers.
Oh, it's perfect, perfect. Meanwhile, over at Mazda, they trade MPG for power in the new CX-5.
You know, some of those interiors in those CX-5s are amazing. The high-cost interiors or high-end, high-luxury interiors.
High-end.
Yeah. And the Jeep Wrangler gets a wobble. This is a problem for Jeeps, and it might be coming back. Maybe. We'll tell you about it.
Yeah, and it's annoying when you have it. Anyway, is data mining part of Ford's plans for profit? This is a subject that's really getting much more play these days.
Yeah, everyone's mining data, and it's the invisible way they're making money. And a lot of times that people worry about privacy, so we'll talk about that. And which SUV rules the ring, the Nürburgring, that is? If you want a fast SUV, it seems kind of funny, but we'll tell you which one's the fastest.
Exactly. And classics survive the California fires. There's nothing good to be said about these fires.
No.
Terrible devastation. Entire communities are just wiped out. And it's, you know, it's any good news is helps.
Yes.
In a little way. And some classic cars have survived the fires. So.
Yeah. And some of the firefighters realized they were classic cars and tried to save them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just these people just deserve enormous credit for all of the work they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw good tips that you should, it's a good idea to train a neighbor, I guess this would be a trusted neighbor, how to move a classic car, especially if it's a manual, which many of them won't know how to drive. In case your house goes on fire, they could back it out and save the car. It's a pretty interesting story when you think about it, but probably they wouldn't know how to put a manual car into reverse, and that would be
That's right.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll be back with Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Stick around. We're going to talk about the Nissan Rogue Sport when we come back. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio. Fred Staub, Les Jackson in the Cruise Control van, checking out some new models here. And 2019 model year is rolling out, Les.
Boy.
Nissan Rogue Sport. This is a great value vehicle, I think. You know,
someone it is. We both like this thing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. One thing it missed, though, because they were really marketing this to kind of like as an, not an entry level, I guess like a premium entry level vehicle. It never had Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and had kind of a outdated radio navigation package, right? Which I thought is kind of dumb for a vehicle like this, because people that want to get into this would like that capability. And I think it should be in virtually every car pretty soon, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Well, now it is. It gets the updated audio system with both Apple CarPlay and Android Auto as standard, as it should be. There's a new ProPilot Assist, which is the Nissan's very, very light autonomous driving system that will take you around turns. It's so in the background, it's hard to see, hard to experience, I think. And more importantly, though, it gets the safety shield of driver assistance and safety systems are all available, along with a 9-speaker Bose audio system. The SV technology and SL premium packages have been revised for 2019. The only power plant is a 2-liter inline four mated with a continuously variable transmission. You get about 141 horsepower. Front or all-wheel drive versions available. So the base Rogue Sport S at $22,240. The SV trim starts at $24,040. And the top-of-the-line SL is $27,960. You got to add about $995 for destination and $1,350 for all-wheel drive. That's the cost of that in all three trims. And the top Rogue Sport SL all-wheel drive starts at $30,305 delivered before options and packages. So it does climb up there. Now, the larger Rogue starts at $31,995 delivered. And the Murano is at $31,430. So there's a lot of overlap here. I think the one probably you might want to go if you're ordering one of these with a cloth seat model somewhere in that $25,000 range, right?
Well, I would think so. I've often wondered with the Rogue if they kind of meant the Murano to go to a younger demographic and the Rogue to go to more of a middle age. I don't know that this is the case, but it seems to me maybe that was the intent, but of course the Rogue is extremely popular with all ages.
That's their hottest model, I think, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's a good vehicle. It rides well. So does their Pathfinder. Both of those SUVs from Nissan ride really well, really smoothly. I haven't been in a Murano in a long time, actually.
Neither have I. It's been years.
Yeah. But when that came out, that was like, wow, people were like, what is this? It's a spaceship, you know?
That's right. It's the first stylish SUV.
Yeah, absolutely. But Rogue Sport, still a great deal. You just got to watch your pricing. Think about that. And that 141 horsepower was okay. It wasn't like a hot rod, but it wasn't terrible either, you know?
It's fine.
Yeah. So, hey, let's look at what's going on at Mazda. They're doing a bit of a trade-off when it comes to their CX-5. They've kind of lowered the miles per gallon on this for 2019, but you get more power. So the 2.5-liter turboed engine that gets worse fuel economy than its naturally aspirated counterpart. It only comes in all-wheel drive form for 2019. Gets 22 city, 27 on the highway, which is not terrible.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, now the front-wheel drive CX-5 with the 2.5-liter natural engine gets 25 city, 31 highway. All-wheel drive drops at 1 miles per gallon. The turbocharged engine makes 250 horsepower, 310 pound-feet of torque on 93 octane. The natural engine makes 187 horsepower and 186 pound-feet of torque. Significantly less horsepower, I would say, right?
Well, it is. But again, these things aren't meant to be... performance
but when
vehicles.
When you look at it all fits in well. I mean, that mileage is within range of the Ford Escape, the Chevy Equinox, the VW Tiguan, and they do have a little bit larger engine, which translates to better torque than most of the competitors, but gets similar fuel economy. So it's just something to put in your computer when you are buying a new car. This is just, subtle differences, right?
Exactly. But it all really comes down to what pleases you when you're looking at a car. How many people are first drawn to it just because of the way they look?
Exactly. More, that's what people will go on and price. That's what they go on.
So, that's right.
All right. Well, we will be right back with more Cruise Control Radio. When we come back, we'll tell you about a new wobble that might be appearing in some Jeep Wranglers. So if you're a Wrangler owner, listen up. I'm also going to go to the data mine with Ford. So stay tuned. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred here. We're still eating the turkey, but... But that's okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing better, by the way, than a turkey sandwich, which has nothing to do with cars.
Do you put cranberry on it?
I do.
Oh.
Stuffing? I do. I put cranberry, and I like to put some lettuce and sometimes a little celery.
What about stuffing? Some people do that.
No, I don't do that.
Okay. All right.
But that's okay.
It is okay. It's your choice. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, listen up, Wrangler owners. This interesting story here about, it was from the Detroit Free Press, by the way, is about Wranglers experiencing a death wobble in their front end of their new Wranglers.
That's not good.
No. And it's a... problem where the solid front axle causes the steering to shake violently, caused by hitting a bump or a pothole at high speeds. I think I've seen a picture of this on, I believe some big pickup trucks used to do that, and the wheel would shake violently for quite some time, and then it would calm down. But it was certainly
cars with with kingpin front suspensions. That was a very common symptom of the wearing out of the kingpin. You would hit a bump and the steering wheel would wobble for, some 5-6 seconds.
Yeah, certainly unsettling if you're behind the wheel, right?
Well, it is, and it's potentially dangerous.
Hmm. Well, as I mentioned, Detroit Free Press was looking into this, and this has not caused any problems for anyone as far as accidents or anything like that. But it may be traced to 18,000 new Wranglers that have a faulty weld near the track bar as it is welded to the frame. However... there is no direct link between this issue and the death wobble, as an FCA official clarified to Autoblog. Probably they don't want to call it a death wobble, I would imagine, right?
That's exactly. Yeah, I don't think death wobble is a good term to use.
Yeah, and They said one potential cause of this is an incorrectly installed suspension modification like a lift kit that can cause this. So
right.
They're looking, I think it's two separate issues. The bad weld, of course, is just a problem, and that has to be rectified. And then modifying of the suspension improperly that could cause this wobble is another issue. So just something to think about if you have a new Jeep Wrangler, right?
Well, that's right. And now, granted, anyone who owns a Wrangler is not going to bring it in complaining about the ride.
No, the ride quality.
Because it basically, well, it's let's say it's an uncomfortable ride.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly it's gotten a lot better.
It has, but it's still
a short wheelbase vehicle with big tires. Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't call this, by any stretch of the imagination, a comfortable thing to drive.
Yep. Well, you know, Ford has been kind of changing what it does. And even going back a few bosses ago, they talked about becoming a mobility company and not just a company that builds cars. And now, this is also from the Detroit Free Press, they had a lengthy interview and with the head of Ford, and they talked about data mining. Jim Hackett talked about this during a podcast interview. He said, we have 100 million people in vehicles today that are sitting in Ford Blue Oval vehicles. This is the case. That's the case for monetizing this opportunity versus an upstart. In other words, when you finance their car through Ford, they know a lot about you. They know about what you do. They know about where you work, how much you make, and they want to sell this data, right?
Well, that's the problem, and of course there is no real legislation on who owns that data. A lot of people think we own that data, but that has not been worked out.
Yeah. And, you know, their Ford Financial, the company's lending arm, has contributed 35% to Ford's profit this year, up from 24% last year. That's a big chunk of their profit, isn't
it? That's a lot of profit.
You know, all of this stuff that used to be seen as being private. They know if you're married. They know how long you lived in your house. They know about your credit applications. Used to be pretty private information. Now, since there's money involved, it seems like that is fair game, right?
It is, and I personally don't think it's fair. I think it's going to take really a major lawsuit eventually on all this data mining. That'll have to go to the Supreme Court to decide, okay, what do we own privately and what don't we own?
But also, too, many younger folks have been kind of convinced that you don't need to be that private, and they share many things online, too. So it may not, for future generations, may not be such a big issue to people that are not used to having that privacy, you know?
That could be very true.
Yeah.
Eventually something like that comes back to bite you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they talked a little bit, Ford EVP, Joe Hinrichs, spoke to investors, and they talked about trying to get profitability and he called out one area where he thought that profitability could be found, and that's all side mirrors on 2020 Ford Explorers will be black to reduce complexity. And that is the type of thing they're looking to save money on. I think I'll say it once again. Ford, you better get new product out there fast, because you kind of lame ducked most of your lineup, and it's all about product. That's as Bob Lutz used to say, it's all about product. And they have a lot of stuff in the pipeline, but it to me, I would be very frustrated if I knew this stuff was in the pipeline and people didn't know about it yet. They have the the Bronco. They have the smaller Bronco. They have all these other vehicles coming out. You know, the Mustang four-door crossover. Got to get this stuff out there because right now everything they've got is pretty old except for I guess Mustang and F-150. But they've got to get fresh stuff out there, don't they?
That's right. And if you lose your brand to some other brand, they go buy something different. It takes 10 years to get the people back.
Like I always said, when you walk through the car shows and if you see, you go into somebody's booth and the stuff just looks like it's a generation or so removed from the newest stuff over at the competitor, I really think that weighs heavily on people's minds, right?
It does. People are always looking for something new, or at least the perception that something is advanced, I guess would be the word.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about Ford. We got some Ford Ranger MPG numbers that are coming in or were leaked out, and we've got them. We're going to talk about the fastest SUV in the ring, in the Nürburgring, and also how some classics survived the California fires, some classic cars. Some didn't. We know that. I recall seeing that one very swoopy body car went off. Didn't. But a lot did. And thanks to the first responders, that some of them were pushed out of garages by first responders to keep them from burning when the structure was burning. So we'll have all that and more when we come back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back, Cruise Control. Les and Fred, we're just rolling through lots of new stuff in the auto industry. There's so much always going on.
2019, it's coming. It's coming.
2019 is here. Well, for car models, that is.
right.
It's another 35 days for the rest of us.
Yes.
But, you know, there's just so much happening. We were talking about Ford data mining. Ranger, shall we say what the economy is?
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit. I mean, this goes to the point I was talking about before the break about they have so much new product, but it's not out there yet. The Ranger is still not out there, right?
No, and it people are waiting for this thing.
Yeah.
And I think they're getting very impatient.
Yeah. Well, this was leaked, the 2019 Ford Ranger fuel economy figures. And of course, there's one engine in this vehicle, and it is going to be the 2.7 liter EcoBoost, right?
The 2.7 liter EcoBoost, great engine.
And this information comes from the Ranger 5G forum. They say that the 2.7 liter EcoBoost engine it's powered by a 2.3 liter EcoBoost Turbo 4, is going to get, what is that? It's all jumbled up there. 21, 26, and 23, right?
That's right. 23 overall, 26 on the road, assuming you're not driving at 80.
Yeah.
21, you know, generally around town, they call it city, but
yeah,
you know, it's around town. That's pretty respectable.
Yeah, it's not outstanding. Compare that to a 4x2 F-150, that gets 20, 26, and 22. So they're almost the same numbers, right?
Yeah, but the likelihood is the F-150 is almost always going to be driven with stuff in the back,
mm-hmm.
with passengers, maybe towing something.
Mm-hmm.
So to see those numbers in reality, in everyday practical terms, I don't think you'll see it.
When is the Ranger supposed to be out?
That's, you know, I was going to ask you the same question.
You can order it. If you go to their configuration, the Ford site, you go to that, and it says, you know, pre-order. At least that's what it did last week, because I was sitting there thinking, like, well, what, you know, when will these things be out? And they're just not out. I don't know why they can't get their product out faster. It just seems like it's must be frustrating. That's a piece of product that they should have out and should be selling. That's the way I look at it. I
mean, what are the factories doing?
I don't know. They're building, are they still building the sedans that are lame-ducked? You know?
Well, I'm sure they're building every F-150 they can possibly build.
Yeah.
Profits being huge, but I just don't understand what's going on at Ford.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's what's going on at Dodge. This is actually quite good news. The Dodge Challenger, that is a pretty old platform by this time, right? It hasn't had a major redo since 2008, but they've kept it alive by doing different engine combinations and different trim combinations. They always have something new up their sleeve, don't they, Dodge?
They do. It looks the same, but they always have color changes, special editions, horsepower. Well, mm-hmm. We don't even need to talk about horsepower with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're outselling. They've outsold both the Mustang and the Camaro last month. That's incredible. I don't think that's ever happened.
No, and this dates back to 2008. There's still Mercedes-derived underpinnings on the vehicle. One thing it gets good numbers for is the back seat is very usable, and you would expect that late in the game here for this body style, you would expect that the sales would be trickling off, but they're not. So you know what this means? This means they're making good money on this car.
They sure are. This thing has had all of its economies of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hasn't changed. It's bulletproof. It's very reliable.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they did one upgrade to it in 2015 to change the grille around and that. But other than that, it's just been new models. And you look at the numbers in this thing, and it's just really selling well. Of course, they have a new Red Eye version of it as well. The Demon has run its course.
Right.
But they've got a lot going on there. So good for Dodge for keeping that model going, right?
It's amazing. 520,000 of these things have been sold since 2008 compared to the biggest retro failure was the modern Thunderbird.
Yeah, that
great looking car, a good car, and they only sold 64,000 in their entire run.
Yeah, and it's kind of a cool car to see. I see a couple of them are running around here, and it's kind of like a collectible car, isn't it?
It is. I really like it. I've always been drawn to it. It's comfortable to drive. I'd love one if I could buy one cheap.
Mm-hmm. And the first ones, you better off get one that's a couple of years into the run, because didn't they have a bit of cowl shake in the beginning?
They reinforced them. And they redid the engine after the second year. It wasn't quite as tuned as well as it should have been. So it improved in horsepower for 2003 and 4 and 5.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Plenty more to go. We're glad you're along with us. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. All the links are over at cruisecontrolradio.com. Did you see that accident by Sophia Florsch?
I did, yeah. Wow.
Formula 3. What is Formula 3? That is like a feeder for Formula 1?
Yeah, it kind of has taken the place of the of things like Formula V and some of these other classes that just kind of got confusing over the years.
Well, of course, the crash happened on the Macau Grand Prix on last Sunday. And this is a street course. It looked like, I mean, it's a tight turn and something happened to the car or whatever. She was airborne, went flying through this turn above the racing surface, right? Crashed into a hut that had some officials there, took that out, and she fractured her spine. They did an 11-hour operation. They had to graft, take some bone out of her hip and graft it to her back. She's just 17, but she says she'll be back racing.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, I saw the crash. It just looked fatal.
Yeah, it looked fatal. It because she was above all the safety barriers and even above the fence, wasn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just looked like this thing was going to disintegrate.
Yeah. Two photographers and a track marshal were injured. I believe the track marshal was in that hut where she hit and had a broken jaw. So it's, you know, it's pretty bad. I mean, that could have certainly been a paralyzing injury, but it wasn't. She can be thankful for that because, I don't know. Would you get back in a race car after that kind of accident?
Oh, yeah, I would.
She is 17, and people said, well, why is she driving? Well, I think even the guy that won the race was 19, so it's a lot of young people racing
that's,
in that.
You know, that's where these, you know, the very first thing these modern Formula drivers get into is go-karts.
Yeah, and they're pretty fast.
And they are very fast, and, you know, they're driving these things at 9, 10 years old, it's best to learn how to race drive at a young age and you just get better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting story. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio. We are coming up. We're going to talk about the fires out in California. Of course, the main thing is we want all the people that have lost their homes. And of course, some that are they still haven't found. That is the main part of this story, but still there is a car aspect to it as well. Some classic cars were lost and some were saved, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back on Cruise Control, plus a whole lot more. So keep it tuned to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine, and check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com, where you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. It's all there. Cruise Control Radio. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
I got a new car. I got a new car.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Thanks for being along on the ride around the automotive industry. So much information. And we're not even into car show season yet, Les, and that's when it really picks up. But got plenty to talk about, don't we?
Well, we do. And, lots of interesting things going on. We certainly... we have to credit the firefighters out there in California for saving some cars.
Yeah, this is a interesting one. It comes from the New York Times, this story. It involves the Camp Fire in Northern California. And it's about a Chevy Silverado and a Model T. Retiree Ron Westerbrook and his wife Bonnie Thomas lost their house in the Camp Fire. And they lost their garage in a 1941 Plymouth that was inside. But sitting outside next to that garage was a Model T on a trailer, open trailer, with it pulled by a Chevy Silverado. He decided not to take that because he thought this is crazy to tie up the roads with a trailer and a truck when, people are worried about living or dying. So he just took another truck, Came back. There was only a very light, minor paint damage to the Model T. It was sitting there. You know, the tires weren't burned off. The trailer and truck were fine. Yet the garage that it was next to was burned to the ground. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, just lucky with the wind dynamics and the heat.
Yeah, even the
wood away from it.
Wood steering wheel is there. Everything's there. Wood wheels.
Yeah. Very lucky. Of course, you know, he has no house and all of that. But, you know, these little things that kind of make it not quite so terrible.
And then Malibu firefighters apparently are our car guys and gals when they see an expensive car, a classic car, they will push it out of a burning house. There's a great picture here. Of a Shelby GT350, a 1966 model, and they are pushing it out of the garage that was on fire to keep it safe. And they know what these things are worth, and they tend to look out for them. This was in The Drive, and I think that's interesting that they are. I mean, the car culture lives strongly out in California, and they know, oh man, that might be worth something. Let me get it out of the fire and just push it back, right?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the work that these people have done and continue to do is just extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They go endless days of work without taking a break. I just don't know how
to
do that. So anyway, there. Hey, we should get to this story. I almost forgot about it. The fastest SUV around the Nürburgring. Right? You know what it is?
Yes. I do know what it is. It's a Mercedes this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's an AMG, of course.
Makes sense.
GLC 63S. And the time, I have to say, this is an impressive time. 7 minutes, 49.3 seconds.
That is really amazing, isn't it?
That is staggering. Just to do it in less than 8 minutes, you've got to have a really fast car and a really good driver.
Yeah. And their competition is the Cayenne Turbo S. That was 759.74. So there is it's getting downright racy out there, isn't it, when it comes to
it
SUVs?
Is. It's remarkable.
Who would have thought it? Did you ever see that commercial where it's the German guy and he says, this is not the track, you know, this is the Nürburgring, it's not for family vehicles? Well, I guess he's wrong about
that's
that.
That's right. He's wrong. It's 13 miles, 146 turns.
Wow. That's a lot of turns, isn't it?
I've done it. And it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, another interesting story here about a guy gets arrested for stealing cars, and then he's let out of jail, free to go, served his time. What does he do? He steals a car on his way out of jail. And this happened in Florida, Tampa, Florida. His name is Khalid Carpuzzi. He's of Newport Richie, Florida. They let him right. He tried to steal the car. They let him right back into the jail building. Charged with a second count of attempted auto theft.
This is not the smartest criminal in the world.
Does he know you can buy one of these? And you do, and nobody, you know, they'll let you just buy it and you drive it around. Does he know that?
Apparently not. You know, it's like Willie Sutton, the famous bank robber. When he was in jail, they said, "How come you keep robbing the banks?"
And
he said,
"Well,
that's where the money is."
That's where the money is. Yeah.
And this guy, well, that's where the car was.
Yeah, I needed a car. I wasn't going to walk. There's no bus in.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I think this might be a case where the guy wanted to go back in jail.
You know, it could be.
And they were happy to oblige because they happened to, they'll just put you right back in where you came from. Imagine the guy in the cell is like, I thought you got out. Yeah, I tried to steal
well,
another.
I did, but I stole another car.
So, hey, Les, it wouldn't be cruise control without talking about Tesla. Do you know he's trying to make the Tesla Kila stuff? The Tesla?
I think this is a ridiculous idea myself.
Well,
who am I?
He's being sued by Mexico's Tequila Regulatory Council, who says that you can't use the name Tesla Kila because it's too much like tequila, and tequila is a protected word. This guy runs into trouble whatever he does, doesn't he?
Well, you got to admit, he keeps pushing the envelope.
Do you think when you're trying to build these cars and get them out, it would be wise to build the cars and get them out as opposed to start making tequila?
Yeah, when you start continually painting yourself as being not crazy, but certainly eccentric.
Yes.
It doesn't help.
How about this? How much would you pay for a brand new 2005 Ford GT? It was only built between 2004 and 2006. This is the 5.4 liter, 550 horsepower model. Well, it is brand new, sitting at a dealer in Hawk Ford in St. Charles, Illinois. They want $449,900.
They'll get it.
Yeah, they will get it.
They'll get it. Somebody wants it to collect it.
Mark for four red clear coat and ebony black interior leather sports seats can be yours. Brand new. It is still sold as a brand new car, I guess, if it was never registered, right?
That's right. It's brand new. Mm. Yeah.
So 5.4. I remember riding in that car, and I know you had it too. And it was just a monster.
It's pretty impressive. I got to give them that. You know, it's like nothing else.
Well, just so you know, after we get off the air, it's Hawk Ford, St. Charles, Illinois. They have one for sale. So they also have a 2005 Ford Fiesta for sale as well. That's okay. $300,000. So there you have it. Hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Thanks for being along on the ride. Don't forget to check us out at the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. It's all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. And we will be back next week with the latest automotive stories we can find. That is, if the van starts. I'm sure it will.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're also going to have a great interview next week about a very capable GMC truck, so you don't want to miss that. We'll talk about that later. Hey, it's time for me to say, I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We'll see you down the road.
Bye.
Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to cruisecontrolradio.com.